Morning again. Happy Father's Day to everybody. I like Father's Day. It's God calls himself a father, and it's God's creation anyway, the family. Let's look at dads. Our work is hard, right? Amen. Fathers, it's tough being a dad. So I'm going to give you some encouragement today. I really do. And I pray that you'd find application of this if you're not a dad, that you'd find application of it to your life as well. Look at the story of Jairus. Please grab your outlines. Let's move through that. Jairus had two perspectives. Jairus had one perspective that was really sad. I can't imagine. I hope and pray that none of you have had to deal with this. Or if you have, I'm really, really, seriously, it's just sad. But his daughter is just not going to make it. And that's not good. And if you've dealt with the death of a loved one, you've been close to that, you know how much that consumes your time and your thoughts and everything. And that is a certain perspective that is unavoidable, that's difficult to fathom unless you've been in the middle of that. And that is one thing that you see. And it's hard not to see anything else. But what I'd like you to see also is that Jairus had a very different perspective. He saw Jesus Christ. On the one side, he saw death. On the one side, he saw defeat. On the other side, he saw how Jesus Christ could change the situation. And it's important for us to see that there are two different perspectives that we can have. Not good perspective, maybe in one case, but there's another one. There's a positive one, and we need to look at that positive one. Let me give you an example why it's a matter of viewpoint. There were remote part of the country. And as he goes out to this remote part of the country, when he arrives there, he was a bit bummed out because nobody that he saw wore shoes. And I know living in Hawaii, when we lived there, they don't wear shoes in Hawaii. So he sent back a wire right away, and his wire to the office said, "No prospect for sales. People here don't wear shoes." Well, later on, this other salesman was sent to the same territory, and he too immediately sent back a wire to the home office, and his telegram said, "Great potential. People here don't wear shoes." So how you look at it, what I'm trying to say, is that when you look at everyday issues, you might not be dealing with something as traumatic and as difficult as what Jairus was dealing with his little daughter. But how you look at it and how you face it is going to determine your conduct. It's going to determine what you are going to do and what you're not going to do and how you're going to do it and how you're going to act in doing it. And it's a matter of perspective. And, you know, Jairus was a religious man. He was a very churchy man in the sense that he was the ruler of a synagogue. And he was a very responsible man. I'm sure he did everything that he could possibly do for his daughter. I'm sure that he did. But it didn't work. But more importantly, what he did was he had God at the center of the situation. And that's more important. He did everything he could, but he made sure that God was at the center of that situation. And he had a desperate need. Even though he is powerful, he is popular, he is successful. No matter how successful, how popular, how great you are, how much money you make, you can never rise above your problems. You never will. And oftentimes, the more successful you get, the more stress and the more problems you're going to have. And this man's little girl, the apple of his eye, is dying. Yet he is not ashamed to seek Jesus Christ. He's not ashamed to put Christ first. In fact, he sought Christ and he looked for him. In the text, the idea that we get when we look at the text is that Jesus is gone. He comes back. All these people are waiting for him to arrive. Jairus is right there. So when Jesus gets off the boat, boom, Jairus meets him immediately. He had been waiting for him, praying, hoping, putting his trust in God and keeping him at the center. You know, when you're a father, and I'm speaking to us as a dad, I got three kids, God has given us, dads, a unique responsibility. He really has. He has given us, as our Heavenly Father, He has given us the blessing of being a dad. And let me share a verse with you. It's not in your outlines, but I invite you to write it down. You can look it up later. It's Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4. In the God's Word translation, it goes like this. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4. Fathers, don't make your children bitter about life. Instead, bring them up in Christian discipline and instruction. Now, the key word in that verse for fathers is bring up. Bring up in English is two words. In Greek, it's only one word. And it would surprise you as to what word is used there. But it really speaks of the unique role that we as fathers have in the family. That word actually means to feed. It means to give food to. Now, most men, I'm sure all of us here as dads, and most men in our world, in our culture, do a really a pretty good job and take pretty serious priding for the material things that we need. And they do. Most dads that I know, they work, they try, they want to have a good career. They're really good at taking care of and leading in and being part of the important aspect of the provisions that a family needs. You know, but part of that too, a huge part of that is also leading your family to God. And bringing God into the center, bringing Jesus Christ into the center of your family and life. That's really a huge part. That's what Jairus did. That's why this story actually is in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. You know, here's the thing. The Lord is sharing with us that our kids are a wonderful gift to us. And the reason why difficulties happen in your life and in my life, the reason why we get in situations that are well beyond anything that we're able to handle, does that ever happen to you? Do you get in situations where you don't know the right words to say to your kids? You don't know the right words to say to your wife. That is a challenge. We don't know the right way to respond in our workplaces. Or we respond in a different way that's not helpful, not productive. I mean, these are challenges that we face. We're not perfect. We're not complete. We're not whole. And the Lord really is allowing these things to happen in our life to see where we as men are going to turn. Who are you going to turn to and look for help? Who are we going to ask to come into our lives to give us the guidance and the help we need? You know, God is encouraging us to look to Him, to know that He's close, to know that He's with us. He is a close and He is a concerned Father. And He's not distant. And we can take a tip from Jairus because he waited upon God. He waited for God to move in his family's life. He had that hope. He had that vision. And he prayed. I am amazed at how many Christians don't know how to pray. It's like, you know, if I had to talk to my wife or talk to my kids, it's as if I needed a script or a cue card to know what to say. Now, if I'm talking to a friend and I have a relationship that's deep with that person, the words just kind of roll off my heart and off my mind. I'm able to articulate it. I'm able to share it. It's a very natural thing to do. Now here's the question. Does God want us to relate to Him like that? Jesus shared when He talked about God, our Heavenly Father, He said, call Him Abba. He said, call Him Abba, Father. That in Aramaic is a very loving term. It means daddy, papa. He wants us to relate to Him and trust Him, knowing that He is caring, He is concerned. He has an amazing track record. Guys, listen to this. There are people like David. David fell into immorality in the most horrible and heinous way. Samson did too. He fell and he stumbled. You look at Moses. Moses had anger issues. He was a mean, an angry person. All of this stuff. All of those guys focused on God. They invited God into their lives, and God did amazing, changing things. His forgiveness washed over them, didn't remember the past, overlooked it, and said, I have a plan and a purpose for you. And these guys latched onto that. They said, Lord, work that. And God is encouraging us as dads. He wants us to see His track record throughout history working in these individuals. And see, here's the thing. When it comes to a crisis, and this would apply not only to us as dads, I think this applies to all of us as well, but especially I think to us dads, there is a reaction when we are in the midst of temptation or when we're going through something or we have to deal with a business decision or when we have to do something that's important in our family, whatever it may be, that we don't want to burden anybody else with it. We want to handle it on our own. We want to solve it. We want to say, I can do this. I got the strength to do this. And so we try to do it on our own. We try to do it, and we try to do it the best that we can. But here's the thing, and Jairus learned this. You and I, as dads, cannot be filled with the glory and power of God until we're empty, until we're broken, until we actually humbly say, Lord, I can't do this, and I need Your help. Then God can pour His power into us. Jairus was brought to the point where he was absolutely broken, and he said, Lord, I need Your help. He humbled himself before God, and in that, God filled the vacuum with His power. We need to admit, men, it's a manly thing to man up and say, even as to yourself, I can't do this. I need Your help, God. I want Your strength, Your purpose, Your vision. God has a plan and a purpose. He wants us to know that, to walk in it. He wants us to share that with our kids. He wants us to be engaged with our families. He wants us to realize that we have an incredible purpose. And God is behind that. You know, if God is our Heavenly Father. Now what that means, and in giving us kids as a gift, that means He's already expended all of the grace, all of the power, all of the blessings, everything that we need to get it done. We are resourced. We are so blessed. That is the perspective that God has given us. And I don't always get that. I tell you the truth. I really don't. And I just kind of want to stop back and look and be reminded of that. I want my brothers to remind me of that so I can be a more spiritual person in Christ. Because then, as we see with Jairus, the power of God manifests itself. I'll tell you one thing. Speaking to guys, you know, he did a cool thing. He invited Jesus into his house. And I learned something from that. We need to invite Jesus into our house. We need Christian homes. We really do. We need to have that witness. But here's the thing. You'll notice what Jesus did from the text when he came into the home. He made some changes, didn't he? And those people that didn't need to be there, he dismissed. Those people that were problems, that weren't productive for what he wanted to do and what he wanted to work, he said, you can go now. And that spoke to me because when I think about my life, what is it that God wants to remove? What is it that God says it needs to go? It's getting in your way of you loving your wife. It's getting in the way of you loving your work, of you know your worries, your cares, your stresses. He dismisses it and sends it off so that His good work can be done. It is good to let Him have that and to grow in His authority in the home. Let me end up with this because I just see this as a beautiful result of what God is working in our lives, guys. He is. And He's called us to be such a blessing by His grace. This little girl was healed. We don't know how long, you know, she lived and what her life was like. Scripture doesn't tell us this. But I can tell you for sure this point is that this little girl knew that she was alive because of her daddy's love. She knew that she was alive because her daddy loved her and took her to Jesus. And that changed her life. That became a testimony for her with her friends in her synagogue. in her life, in every aspect, and it spoke louder and longer than the man's existence in this world. This is what God is working in us. You know, loving our children, for example, is not a matter of just having a closet full of toys, drawers full of clothes, a large allowance. What would that mean if the child's gone? You know, it's so much so how God works in us and us imparting that grace and growing in that leaves such a beautiful testimony. And my heart and prayer is this, is that God by His grace would wash over us in our with His forgiveness and with His love, and that we would be renewed. We would be blessed. We need that, Dad. This job is hard, but God is with us in it, and He will strengthen you. Jesus told Jairus at the most darkest hour, "Don't be afraid, just believe." Let's trust God then. Let's stand up. Let's trust God. Let's walk with Him. Let's welcome Him in. Let's expect Him to do good things, because He will. In Jesus' name, amen.